All right, on the line, Skylar Callahan has joined me. He is live down in Arlington, Texas for Big 12 Media Days. Of course, today is Neil Brown's day to speak to the media. And for those that, of course, aren't very familiar with Neil Brown, to get to know Coach, those around the country, SiriusXM's down there, everybody's pretty much down there, and including his interview with Fox Sports, who's covering the event. Skylar, how are you doing, brother, and how's the event been so far?
I'm doing great, Brandon. It's going really good so far. We're about halfway through the coaches right now, and I think Chris Klieman from Kansas State, he's on deck. But it's going great so far. A good turnout. Neil Brown showed up pretty early, as you would probably expect him to. He's one of those guys that's very, you know, diligent on everything. So that doesn't surprise me at all. But I thought he did really well for his first Big 12 media day, and I'm ready to get to the season now that we've got this part over.
Yeah, the biggest question, of course, and even when I interviewed him, and it's something that everybody's been kind of asking him, is the culture that he's bringing to Morgantown. You know, he's selling his program on the 14th winningest program in history of college football. He was asked about the high school, the recruiting, basically, blueprint. You know, is he going to do transfers like Holgorsen, or is he going to do high school first? And, of course, he said high school was going to build the foundation, much like the nine other schools in the Big 12. That was the biggest question with Neil Brown coming in, is how is he going to recruit? How is he going to get to know the recruiting area traditionally, how West Virginia recruits? Of course, he follows the Don Nealon blueprint and how he wants to recruit. But I did like the answer that he's going to start with high school first.
Yeah, definitely. I think for any successful program, you have to build around high school players. You can't just depend on these JUCO guys or transfers, grad transfers that can only stick around maybe 1-2 years at max. Maybe you get a transfer that can come in and play 3 years, but it's so hard to keep replacing those guys year in and year out. And I think that's what kind of caught up with Dana Holgorsen when he was here, is yeah, he would have a good team every 3-4 years, but between those 3 or 4 years where he did compete for a Big 12 title or was a contender at least for the Big 12, he was really struggling to develop that talent in between them because there was nobody behind those guys that were already sitting there ready to go. He was having to go out and pick out junior college kids and these transfers year in and year out. So I think you have to build through high school if you want to have any success, especially at the Power Five level. And you know, when you do that, you get these guys for, you know, like I said, 3, 4, 5 years, and they understand the program better. They understand what their role is. They understand the culture. They buy into the culture. And it's not to say that transfers don't, but you have a better chance of getting the high school this to be here 4 or 5 years to buy culture and to buy into what the team asks you to do from the get-go, because those other guys that were that transferred in aren't from here originally. They have to adapt to a whole new setting and a whole new environment. So I think you have to go with the high school route, and I think that a lot of West Virginia fans are going to love to hear those words come out of Neil Brown's mouth.
Yeah, of course. He also, across the pond, seen a lot of European players being recruited for these next future classes at West Virginia, which is very interesting there. Mm-hmm. But he talks about defense as well. You know, many coaches in the Big 12 have talked about how defensively the Big 12 is lacking, and, you know, the national perspective, I should say. But, you know, yeah, I mean, compared to most other, if you go statistical, you know, it's predominantly an offensive type of conference. But if you look at league champions year in, year out, outside of Oklahoma just being phenomenal on defense the past, you know, 2 or 3 years, most teams that play defense win championships first off, and I'm talking national championships, but most importantly, they're in conversation for a conference championship. I've been hearing from guys that this league's going to turn kind of a new page or leaf on defense this year. What are your thoughts as far as defense for the Big 12 and most importantly, Neil Brown's answer about defense, where he said, I do think the defenses in this league are better than are nationally represented?
Yeah, they're definitely going to improve, and especially with the hiring of Alex Grinch at Oklahoma, the former defensive coordinator at Ohio State. He's going to definitely get them going. It's not probably going to be this year. I would definitely say next year. I talked to Brady from the Big 12 Country. I had dinner with him last night. He was telling me everything about Oklahoma and the rest of the Big 12, and he thinks that Alex Grinch is about 1-2 years away from making Oklahoma almost an Alabama or a Clemson, because they already have the offense. There's no doubt about that at all. They're just missing that defensive production. And once Grinch gets his his system in there and his guys in there and they understand the concept, I think that Oklahoma could easily be up there with Alabama and Clemson fighting for a college football playoff spot every single year. And when you look around the rest of the league, it's not all that bad. It's just the offensive talent. We've talked about this numerous times on this show and on Between the Years. There's just so much offensive, you know, firepower that it's hard to stop. You're not going to limit these guys to 20 points a game in this league. There's just no way. It's going to be a 30-40 point shootout. Occasionally you'll have a 50 point game, but when you got four guys in this conference as at wide receiver, Jalen Reagor, TCU, Tylan Wallace, Oklahoma State, CeeDee Lamb at Oklahoma, and Jaden Hazelwood at Oklahoma, and there's the list just goes on and on. There's four or five guys just in this league that could be fighting for the Biletnikoff. I mean, and when you have something like that, it's hard to really just kind of contain one guy, especially when they have other guys that can offset it on the other side of the field. These teams don't just have one weapon. They have multiple weapons, and especially in the last couple of years, I think the defense has definitely improved. And for West Virginia's sake, I think it's going to take some time, too, because you're having to, again, learn a new whole new coaching staff, a whole new scheme, whole new concept. But once these guys get that, I think it will definitely be better than it has been in the past couple of years.
Speaking with Skylar Callahan, he's down in Arlington, Texas for the Big 12 Media Days. Neil Brown speaking to the media today. Speaking of Oklahoma, Austin Kendall transfers into West Virginia. Of course, transfer rules and being a graduate transfer is different. But transfer rules, you can get a waiver and all that good stuff too. If you're not a graduate transfer, there's only so many you can get. But that's been a conversation. Lincoln Riley brought it up yesterday with his time, and it kind of rubbed Mountaineer fans the wrong way, including myself. I thought what he said about the personal relationship kind of took over the business side of things with Austin Kendall transferring to West Virginia. Of course, everybody remembers Oklahoma was blocking Austin Kendall from transferring to West Virginia originally. I didn't like the quote. I'm not trying to bash Lincoln Riley here, but different situations call for different actions. Austin Kendall should have been able to go wherever he wanted to. Eventually, Oklahoma made the right decision by the time I made it home that evening. What are your thoughts on Lincoln Riley's comments in regard to Austin Kendall going to West Virginia, and most importantly, how the conference is handling transfer?
Yeah, I thought it was kind of surprising, to be honest, that he went that route. I thought he would have just kind of played it cool and just kind of let the situation go and just be like, if that's where he wanted to go, then so be it. And especially after the outcry from the national media when this happened, I'm just really surprised that he kind of stuck to his gut on what he really felt on the situation. I mean, if a kid wants to transfer within the conference, if he's already graduated, there should be no restriction whatsoever. I don't care if there's, if you don't want him to have immediate eligibility or not. You went and got Jalen Hurts out of Alabama. So obviously you didn't think the quarterback situation was very good. So if you went and did that, then that should be Austin Kendall's decision whether he wants to leave Oklahoma or not. I think with him leaving West Virginia, I think that's what really set him off. I don't think it had anything to do with him leaving, period. It just where he ended up and where he, was going to have to play Oklahoma for the next 2 years, and the fact that he's going to have immediate eligibility is what really upset him. But Chris and I have talked about this. I think I've maybe even talked about this as well on the show. If a kid is already graduated, he should be able to transfer anywhere and not sit out at all. And really, most transfers should have to sit out, period. I mean, we see coaches up and leave schools all the time, and at the end of the season, before the bowl games even are over with, and they don't have to sit out. So why should the players? It just doesn't make any sense to me at all. And, of course, the NCAA, with this whole transfer portal thing, is making it a lot easier for kids to transfer, but then you don't have a set criteria, guideline for what the rules are for these kids to transfer. Some of them are getting immediate eligibility, some of them aren't. And I think there needs to be a set of rules that say what makes this guy eligible right away.
Certainly makes for an interesting matchup, as many have been, Oklahoma, West Virginia this year. Could Austin Kendall, if he obviously is the starting quarterback, head to Norman and knock Oklahoma for the first time since joining the conference? That would be a lot of fun and special. Finally, Skylar, mentioning that schedule, you asked Coach about the schedule being one of four teams, Power 5 teams, a schedule, or one of the four teams in the country to schedule 11 Power 5 teams. his response was expected. He knew the schedule, you know, going into this. He knows it's a tough place, or a place that expects wins, but also a tough conference and tough non-conference, and he wants to challenge his players. He also acknowledged that he has a young team, but he said that they're hungry. You know, they're young, experienced, but they're humble and hungry, which I like that quote that you put up there. What's the overall expectations from you? A lot of people think they're only going to win roughly 5 games. What are expectations for you based off schedule and basically experience and the first year of Neil Brown?
Yeah, well, I think you have to be realistic. I mean, I don't think anybody's expecting West Virginia to contend for the Big 12 title this year. I don't think anyone's expecting, you know, a 9-10 win season or anything like that at all. And transition is always going to be tough for a first-year head coach, but to do it with hardly any returners on the offensive side of the ball, and you lost a couple of defensive playmakers that, you know, did some things off the field that, you know, caused them to not be a part of the team anymore. You know, Neil Brown's walking into a situation where it's not going to be very easy, especially where you're playing NC State at home, you're going to Missouri. And, you know, this isn't, you know, James Madison followed up by Norfolk State and, you know, Delaware. I mean, this is 11 Power 5 teams, and they're going to get a taste. I think you're going to get a taste of what this season could be like right off the bat. You're going to really know probably even by week two when they take on Missouri what the season could look like. And, could they win 6, 7, 8 games? Yeah. But could they also, you know, not be bowl eligible? I think that's very possible, too. I think they fall somewhere between that 5-7, 7-5 range. But with Neil Brown being the head coach, I think he gets an extra win. So I'm going to say 6-6 right now. I'm not exactly sure where the 6 wins are going to come from. But I think that they do get bowl eligible and maybe sneak out another win to get to 7-5. But I think you just can't put too much expectation on this year. And the thing that kind of makes me, you know, hesitant on whether to put, you know, West Virginia 5-6 wins or 8-9 wins is the fact that half of the Big 12 is reloading this year and rebuilding. I mean, if you look at it, there's 4 new head coaches in this league. You know, Oklahoma is going to be replacing Kyler Murray, I know, with Jalen Hurts, but it's still, is it a square peg in a round hole kind of a thing? Does he even fit? If he doesn't fit, then what happens? Then the league could be all Texas's, or it could be wide open. What happens if there's a major injury within the conference? Then it shakes up everything. I think there's so much parity in the Big 12 this year compared to the last few years that I think the league's up for taking. There's 2 spots to get to Dallas, to where we are today at Big 12 Media Day. 10 of these teams have the same dream, same goal, and only 2 of them are going to get there. And I think pretty much, I would say probably 1 through 8 have a chance. I think Kansas State and Kansas are the only 2 teams that are pretty much way behind the 8-ball. Maybe even Texas Tech is a little bit behind, but you know, from West Virginia up, it's pretty much, you know, free ball game for any of these teams to get back to Dallas.
Skylar, I appreciate your work down there in Arlington, Texas. Glad you enjoyed your time. Always enjoy your work. Make sure to follow him along on Twitter, as well as at W Nation on Twitter, WNation.com. And, of course, you can listen to Between the Years here on 95 The Sports Fox, 6 o'clock Friday evenings. Skylar, throughout also your Twitter as well.
Yeah, if you want to follow me, just check me out at DVN Callahan. And if you also want to check out the recruiting account as well, it's DVN Recruiting. And also, if you haven't checked out our recruiting videos, I put up one about usually once a week towards Friday or Saturday every week, about 2 or 3 minutes. And also go on the WNation.com, check out the recruiting periscope. It's just all the guys that are extremely interested in West Virginia or are close to making their decision to have a West Virginia offer. So go and check that out. Anytime between now and the next recruiting video.
Skylar, appreciate your work, my friend, and glad you had fun down there, and thank you for your time.
No problem, Brandon. Thank you very much.